Can I thank our brother, Mr. Story, for the words of welcome. Good to be with you again tonight, and we trust that the Lord will enable us in the preaching of the Word of God. Do your best to bring others with you night after night, and be here yourself to encourage us in the Gospel. We're turning this evening for a Bible reading in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. We're going to enter the chapter at verse 38, or verse 36. Matthew chapter 24 and the verse 36. The Lord Jesus Christ is the speaker here, and he said, "But of that day," speaking of the day of his return, "of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched, would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh." We'll end our reading at the end of verse 44, and let's just briefly engage in a word of prayer, please, before we bring the Word of God. O God, our Father, we thank thee for the singing of thy praise. We thank thee for help given to our sister as she has ministered in song. We thank thee for prayer that has been offered. And now as we come to the preaching of thy word, we do pray for an anointing of thy Spirit upon the preached word, conscious and aware that we need thee. We're desperate, O God, for the help of God, the Holy Spirit. But we thank thee that thou hast promised that if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. And we ask in faith for the infilling of thy Spirit. Speak to every heart, we pray. Challenge all of our lives. Grant, O God, a highway to be made for the preaching of thy word. Grant, heavenly Father, souls to be saved, backsliders to be restored, God's people challenged, and most of all, the name of Christ lifted high, and Lord, the Christ of God, lifted before men and women as the only Savior from their sin. And so answer prayer, close us in with God. We pray this in Jesus' precious and wondrous name. Amen. In 1905, the coastal steamer, the SS Peridot, delivered a cargo of coal from Irvine on the west coast of Scotland to Carnlough Harbour in County Antrim. Cargo of limestone was then loaded onto that vessel for the return journey, and on the 26th of November that vessel set sail with her captain and her crew, a crew who were mainly from the coastal villages of Carnlough and Glenarm. Not long into that sailing, a severe easterly gale forced Captain Hugh O'Kane to make for the shelter of Larne Loch. But unfortunately, the ship sank after being driven onto the rocks at Skerdigan Point, just off Island McGee. Captain O'Kane, along with Patrick Black, John McMahon, John Darra, James McKinty, James Stewart, Alexander McNeil, Alexander Ferguson, and Robert McKellar, all lost their lives in that tragedy in the Irish Sea. Today, if you go to Carnlough Harbour, you will see that tragedy commemorated by a large marble plaque that was erected in 1998 by Larne and District Historic Centre Committee.
inscribed at the bottom of that memorial slab are these words: "Watch ye therefore, for in such an hour as ye think not, your Lord cometh." Those words are a stark reminder to all who read the plaque commemorating that tragic event on the 26th of November 1905. But none of us know the day, none of us know the hour, and none of us know the circumstances that God will use to bring us to death and to the judgment. As I read those words some time ago, my mind was taken to the words from which they came from. We read them tonight in Matthew 24 in the verse 42. "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Such words were uttered by the Son of God. They sit within the context of a question that he was asked by his disciples in the opening verses of this chapter, particularly the verse number 3. "Tell us," they said, "when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Having indicated that the days prior to his second coming would be days that would be filled with the rising of false Christs, wars, famines, pestilences, earthquakes, persecutions, apostasy from the truth, and a scourge of false prophets in the land, the Savior reminds his disciples that despite all of these signs indicating that his return would be imminent, he reminded them that his coming would be one that would take men and women unawares. I want to preach about the second coming of Christ tonight. I'm not going to tell you when he's going to come. I often laugh whenever I read the verse number 36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." I would think that some men with their little charts going around the community telling us all when it's all going to happen would need to learn this particular verse, because none of us know when Christ is returning. That is committed only to the Father, not even the Son. And so we must remind ourselves that although we know not the day, we know not the hour, we do believe that Jesus Christ is coming again and coming soon. I take for my text this evening the verse 42 and the surrounding verses. Tonight I want to preach a message that I've entitled "The Coming King." The Coming King. Christ as King. Thank God is coming again. From the passage before us, I want you to see, first of all, then, the sureness of His coming. The sureness of His coming. Note the certainty that the Savior expressed in His words with respect to His coming again into this world. The text within verse 42 does not say, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord is maybe coming or is hoping to come," but rather, "Ye know not the hour that your Lord doth come." There is a ring of certainty, a ring of assurance within our Savior's words here with respect to His coming again into this world. He, as King, is coming again. The sureness of the Savior's coming, His second return to this world, is affirmed by three ways within the Scriptures of truth. Firstly, we can say that the Son of God is coming again because of the sayings of Christ Himself. These words in Matthew chapter 24 are not the only promise that the Son of God made about His coming again. Throughout the Gospels, He spoke of His certain return to this earth in order that He might take those who are savingly united to Him to heaven and punish those who have obeyed not the gospel of His own self. For example, I read in Matthew 16 verse 27, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels." Mark 8 verse 38, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when He cometh in the glory of His Father and the holy angels." John 14 verse 3, "And if I go and prepare a place for you," Christ said, "I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now tonight you may deny that Christ is coming again. You may scoff and say, "Where is the promise of His coming?" You may even refuse to believe of the Savior's promise to return to that earth, to this earth. But that makes no difference, because Christ is still coming. He's coming again. For you who are so skeptical and so cynical about the thought of Christ returning, you must remember that He has promised. And God is not a man that He should lie, neither is He the Son of Man that He should repent. Has He said and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken and shall He not make it good? And thank God He will. But we not only know that Christ is coming because of the sayings of Christ Himself, but secondly, His coming again is affirmed by the Scriptures of the Old and the New Testament. I'm told that there are over 1,500 prophecies concerning the Son of God's second coming recorded in the Bible. For every prophecy concerning His first coming, there are 8 predicting His second coming. And history has already recorded that there was a man, Jesus of Nazareth, who lived in this world, who did miracles, who died, and His followers said that He rose again from the dead. Josephus is the source, an ungodly historian. And so if Christ has come the first time in answer and in accordance to prophecy, and thank God 8 times more, we're reminded that He's coming again. I think of those great words that we have in the Old Testament that Job uttered there in Job 19 and verse 25. He said these words, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that He shall stand in the latter day upon the earth." Psalm 96 verse 13, "For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world in righteousness and the people with His truth." Enoch was a prophet. His prophecies were spoken of in the New Testament book of Jude, where we read in verses 14 and 15, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him." You see, before Christ ever came the first time, these Old Testament prophets spoke about the certainty of His second coming. But as you move into the New Testament, you'll find that the New Testament saints of God also spoke about the Savior's coming. I'm thinking about John. There in the book of the Revelation, chapter 1, verse 7, "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him." I think of what Paul wrote to Titus there in Titus 2 verse 13. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior Jesus Christ." Peter spoke about the Savior's second coming. 2 Peter 3 verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up." Job, David, Enoch, John, Paul, Peter, all pointed to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sayings of Christ affirm that He's coming again. The Scriptures of the Old and New Testament affirm that He's coming again. The third thing that we can rely on, that we can show you, whereby we know that Christ is returning again, are the signs of the time. The signs of the time. We read of the signs of the time here in Matthew chapter 24, but we also read of the signs of the time before Christ's return in 2 Timothy chapter 3. "This know also," it says, "that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Let's take out a number of these signs. Think about the signs before Christ returns. One of the signs is that of unthankfulness. And surely we live in a society That is an unthankful society. You do it yourself. You walk to the fridge door in the morning time, and all you find instead of Tropicana is maybe some home brand of squeezed orange juice. And you're unthankful, and maybe you say to the wife, did you forget to buy the Tropicana? Or maybe it's the marmalade and it's a home brand instead of some luxury brand that you normally spread on your toast, and there you're complaining at the breakfast table. The society today that we live in is an unthankful society. We read also that they're going to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And is that not society today? All that it is to satisfy and to gratify the flesh. And as Christ's return draws ever near, well then, there's going to be a greater increase of this lover of self and lover of pleasures more than lover of God. And then verse number 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And surely that's in the Church of Jesus Christ. Many profess to know Christ. Many profess to be walking with God, but visit their homes. Visit their homes outside of church, and they deny the power thereof. They know not God. They know not how to pray to God. They know not how to walk with God. And sad to say, many in the Church of Jesus Christ are found within this verse. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And child of God, maybe that's you. You profess to know God, but you know not what it is to meet with God. You know not what it is to pray to God. You know not what it is to walk with God. I tell you, you're a sign of the times that Christ is coming again. Wars, pestilence, famines, earthquakes, you read them all. These signs in Matthew chapter 24, they're indicators that Christ is coming again. You know, folks, there are many things about the future. Most things, if not all things, that we're not sure about. The only thing that we're sure of is death. But there is something else that we can be sure about, and that is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the question that I pose to you tonight is, are you ready for His coming? When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and when time shall be no more, and when the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the sea of the verse shall gather over on the other shore, when the roll is called up yonder, will you be there? That's the question. Because He is coming again. You may say, I think I'll be there. I'm hoping that I will be there. I'm assuming, preacher, that I'll be there. Can I say, friend, that thinking and hoping and assuming are not good enough? You need to know that you're ready to meet the coming King. And thank God you can know. Because I read in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Thank God tonight you can know that you're ready for the coming King, Christ. And sure, all of you at some time have played the game of hide and seek. Some time in your life. If you haven't, well then, you haven't lived. You've had a bit of a disadvantaged upbringing. You haven't really had a childhood if you've never played hide and seek. You all know how it works. Person goes and they count. They count to a certain number and the others go and hide. When the counter finishes, they shout out the words, "Here I come, ready or not." And can I say that there's coming a day when time will be no more? And it's going to be as if it's God Himself is declaring on that occasion, "Here I come, ready or not." And can I say, sinner, that your unpreparedness is not going to postpone Christ's coming, because He's coming, whether or not you're ready or not. So you need to be ready. You need to be in a state of preparedness.
I trust that by the end of this meeting that you'll be able to say that I'm ready for the King coming. I want you to notice the second thing about His coming, not only the sureness of His coming, I want you to speak about the suddenness of His coming. The Savior, within this chapter, Matthew chapter 24, He uses three different images to depict or to convey the suddenness of His appearing. Two of those are taken from the natural world itself. The first of them is spoken in verse 27, lightning. In this verse, the Savior uses the natural phenomenon of a flash of lightning to depict the sudden nature of His coming again. Note the words, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth on to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." I am told that the typical lightning bolt moves at 224,000 miles per hour. That's about 3,700 miles per second, which is approximately the distance between Ballymoney and the city of New York. That's quick. That's fast. That's so fast, I tell you, that the unrepentant one, when Christ returns, will have no time to repent, will have no time to call upon God, will have no time to seek God for His mercy, because in one moment He'll not be here, and in the next moment He'll be here. As quick as a lightning bolt, the Savior shall appear in glory and in power and in majesty. And sinner, then it'll be too late. Too late to pray. Too late to seek God. Too late to be saved. And that's why you must be saved tonight. Because of the hour and of the day knoweth no man. And before this night is over, He could return. He could be here. And this is why we're earnest. This is why we're enthusiastic. This is why we're trying the best that God gives us to be earnest in our appeals with respect to the gospel, because we've become aware that Christ can appear at any moment. The imminent return of Christ is hastening on. Ah, you may say He'll not come back tonight. In the day that ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. That's just the time that He will come. Will He be back before this meeting is over? Ah, sinner, think of it. Before we even get to the appeal, before we even encourage you to trust in Christ, He could be here. And time would be no more. Seek Him now, where you sit, in the pew. Lift your heart to God. Cry to Him, "God, save me. I'm unprepared for Thy coming, but make me prepared. Make me ready. Save me. Wash me in Your precious blood." The 19th century Scottish preacher, the Reverend Edward Irvine, was preaching at Perth. He took a text from this very chapter concerning the second coming of the Son of Man. And that godly man was engaged in unfolding his subject matter. Out of a dark cloud there came forth a bright blaze of lightning and crash of thunder. But you can imagine the impact that it would have had upon his congregation. The preacher paused. From the stillness of the gloom, with a powerful voice clothed with increasing solemnity, he pronounced these words, "For as the lightning cometh out of the earth and shineth on to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be." And so impacted was that congregation that men and women sought after Christ, sought the Savior, was saved by God's amazing grace. For they were aware that God was speaking. This is how quick it can be, as quick as a lightning flash. But let me say another thing, the suddenness of Christ's coming is pictured like a flash flood, like a flood, the flood of Noah's day. You know, the people had been warned. They'd been warned time and time again that judgment was coming. The people of Noah's generation, they did not heed. God sent the flood. The flood of God's wrath was opened upon them for their sin. But the verses 38 and the verses 39, "For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating," or verse 37, "but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be.
For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There's the resemblance. Just as sudden as the flood came, so sudden will Christ's return be.
I thought of those words that we find there in the verse 39, and took them all away. Those words, every time I read them, impact my heart and impact my soul, and took them all away. And as I thought about that, I thought about, what did it take them all away from? Can I say, in the first place, it took them away from the only preacher of righteousness. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Peter reminds us of that in his little epistle. Here was Noah, a preacher of righteousness. In other words, Noah was a man who told people that they needed to be right with God, and he told the people that they needed to walk before God in a right manner. And whenever the flood came, it took them away from the only preacher of righteousness. He was the only man who preached the truth. And when the flood came, it took them all away from the preacher of righteousness. And I say tonight, you may hate this preacher. You may despise his message. You may close your ears to his appeals. But there's coming a day where you're going to be taken away from every preacher of righteousness. Taken away. And can I say that you'll be taken away to hell? Because every preacher of righteousness will shine as the stars in heaven. They'll be in heaven, and you'll be in hell. And no longer will you hear their appeals. No longer will you hear gospel preaching. Only that which memory will recall to your mind through the countless ages of a lost sinner's eternity. But you'll be away from every preacher of righteousness. But another thing, they were taken away from the only place of refuge. In Noah's day, that place of refuge was the divinely designed ark, a picture of Jesus Christ. Judgment was coming. God had provided a means of escape, the ark, the door, representing Christ, who is the door. By all who enter in, they shall be saved. They find God in the ark, the pitch. They were able to see the pitch. It speaks to us of the blood. They were able to see the blood, and God, because the pitch was outside, was able to see the blood. They were blood covered. Thank God for that. They find a place of refuge. But can I say that whenever the flood came, the means of salvation, that means of deliverance, the people were taken away from it. Tonight, there is a place of refuge. Our sister sang about it. The Rock of Ages. She was singing about Christ, who is the Rock of Ages. A place of hiding. A place of refuge. And I say, sinner, the day that Christ appears, you'll be taken away from the only place of refuge, the Lord Jesus Christ. They were taken away from the only preacher of righteousness. They were taken away from the only place of refuge. They were taken away from the only period of repentance. For 120 years and 7 days, Noah preached of coming judgment, and the people would not listen. God was long-suffering. He gave them that period of time to repent. But when the flood came, their day of opportunity was gone. It was over. There's coming a day in each and every one of lives here this evening. There's coming a day, if you're not a Christian, that the period allotted for you to repent will draw to a close. It may be before, long before you ever die, but there's a time. There's a time to seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Behold, now is the accepted time.
Behold, now is the day of salvation. And just as suddenly as the flood came in those days, so will the sudden coming of Christ to earth. The third example that Christ took to explain the suddenness of his coming was that of a thief in the night. But know this, he said, that if the good man of the house had have known in which watch the thief would have come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. The Apostle Paul would use similar imagery over there in 1 Thessalonians 5 and the verses 2 and 3. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. The thief strikes suddenly. The thief strikes swiftly. The thief strikes unexpectedly. The thief strikes without warning. And so Christ's return will be marked by a suddenness, by a swiftness, by an unexpectedness, without any warning. And many, many will be caught out. Will you? Will you? You who have postponed putting off salvation's day to some other day, I tell you, before that day arrives, the eastern skies could have rolled back as a roll, and the mountains and the islands of this world will have been moved out of their place to welcome the returning King. And for you, salvation's opportunity will be gone. As fast as a lightning bolt is, quick as a blinking of an eye, as swift as a flood, as sudden as a thief in the night, the Savior will return, and sinner will not even have time to pray. When he returns, there will be no time for parting words with loved ones. Neither will there be time for you to change your mind and accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Time will be no more. May God help you to see the suddenness of his coming. And I want to end with this thought: the separation at his coming, the sureness of his coming, the suddenness of his coming, the separation at his coming. In Matthew chapter 24, the Savior states that a dreadful separation will take place when he comes again. We read twice over in this chapter: one shall be taken, the other left. Presently, the godly and the ungodly, the saved and the unsaved, the righteous and the unrighteous, the prepared, the unprepared, the children of God, the children of the devil, live, work, and play side by side on this earth. It's not always going to be that way. Because when he comes, when the King comes, there's coming a day of separation. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, a great parting will occur. A separation that will be forever between the saved and the unsaved. Verse 40 of the chapter speaks about work colleagues being together and yet being separated on that day. Two shall be in the field, the inspired writer penned the words of Christ. Two shall be in the field. I can see them. Two farmers. They're standing over a wrought iron gate. They're looking at the heifers that they bought down at the market just the day before. They're talking one to another of what the future plans for each farm's going to be. And then suddenly, the King comes. One's taken. For one knew the Savior. One was redeemed by precious blood. One had come as a sinner to Christ and accepted Christ into their life, made him Savior and Lord of their life. The other refused Christ, laughed when the gospel mission came to the local area, shut and pushed away from the door the evangelist that came knocking, the individual whose witness to them at the marketplace handed out gospel tracts. That farmer, he laughed, he scorned. But the King has come. Two shall be in the field. One shall be taken, the other left behind. The verse 41 speaks about two women. They're grinding at the mill. It's maybe a mother and a daughter. It's maybe two sisters. Maybe just two lady friends. One converted, the other not. And yet, no matter how close they were in this life, When Christ returns, one shall be taken and the other left behind. Because you see, sir, that wife of yours who loves you, who cared for you, who remained loyal and faithful to you over many years, when Christ returns in glory and in power, she'll be taken from you because she had made her peace with God and yet you refused to do so. Young people, that godly mother, that godly father of yours that prayed for you, that witnessed to you, that wept for you, that pleaded with you to come to Christ, they will rise to meet the Savior on that great day while you remain on earth to suffer God's vengeance against with all those who obeyed not His gospel. Brother, sister, you see that sibling that you're so close to, that individual that you ring on the telephone every day and pour out your heart to and tell your secrets to, that brother, that sister that you're so close to, well, she's going to go to the bliss of heaven, and you're going to be left behind, because there's coming a day when Christ returns in power, that wives will be separated from their husbands, parents will be separated from their children, brothers will be separated from their sisters, employers will be separated from their employers, ministers will be separated from their congregation. One shall be taken, the other left behind. Let me ask you, in what party are you? The ones that shall be taken, or will you be left behind? It is the day that the chaff will be separated from the wheat, when the goats will be separated from the sheep, when the tares will be separated from the wheat, when the children of God will be separated from the children of the devil. And who can describe the happiness that awaits the child of God when Christ appears in glory? But on the reverse, who can imagine the torment and the misery of those that will be left behind? This is not a fairy story. This is going to happen. Christ is coming, and it is a day of separation. In light of that sure and sudden coming, and in light of that day of separation, unready, unprepared one, you would do well to get ready. Therefore, be ye also ready. The inspired scripture says, verse 44, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. You may be asking, how can I be made ready? Only Jesus Christ and His work on the cross can make a sinner ready for the coming again of Jesus Christ. And the sinner's turning from sin, repentance, and trusting in Christ, exercising faith. God takes the sinner's heart and He cleanses it in His precious blood. He removes the sinner from that sinner, the rags of his own self-righteousness, and he clothes and he clads that sinner with his perfect, impeccable, spotless righteousness. And on that account, that sinner is made righteous in God's sight and finds an acceptance through the Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask as I close this meeting, has such a work been done in your heart? Are you ready for the Savior's coming? You need to be, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. The King is coming. We've seen it. There's a certainty to it. And He's coming suddenly. And on that day, there's going to be a day of separation. And I pray on that day that you'll be found in Christ, hiding in Him, hiding in the wounds of Calvary, that your sins will have been blotted out, so that whenever He appears, you shall rise to be with Him in the air and be in glory. When He comes, may each of us then be found in that prepared seat. And for those who do love Him, may we live our lives in light of Christ's imminent return. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. If He was to come now, are you ready? make ready. Turn from sin. Repent.
Believe the gospel.
Come to the Savior. And thank God on that great day, you'll be gathered with his loved ones, and your soul will sweep through the gates of the New Jerusalem, and you'll sing and wash in the blood of the Lamb. Make ready for his coming again. May God challenge every heart. Let's bow in prayer. Let's seek the Lord.